on today's episode of the Brando and Will Show. We haven't got around to it yet, but it's a hot topic. We're going to be talking about Jalen Green's future with the Houston Rockets, along with Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks' future with the Rockets. So you don't want to miss this one. We have a Houston Rockets sports journalist on the show with us to discuss, so stay tuned.
All right, and welcome back to the episode of the Brando and Will Show. I'm your first host, always Will. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Bias Houston. I'm going to shout out the Playback Room, Houston Live. Tap in with that for sure. And continue to support the podcast. We appreciate all the love and support you've been showing us on that front. Pass it off to Brad.
Yeah, you know where to find me, Brado NBA, Instagram, Twitter. Same old. We're on Playback now, watching the games live from stream. So if you're going to watch some Rockets games with us, definitely come through. But yeah, today's episode is going to be a fun one. We have our guy Michael on the show, Houston journalist itself for The Cron. We're very happy to have him on. So Michael, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on, fellas. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
Before we get started, is there anything that you want? We're going to have you plug it at the end again, but is there anything you want to like tell the listeners up front, you know, just about you and your content, where they can find you at?
Yeah, for sure, guys. I appreciate that. You can follow me on Twitter at mshap2. And more importantly, you can read all of my content, all Rockets content, Astros content for free at cron.com. So make sure to go there. I'll be covering the Rockets through the season, through the offseason, and into this future year. So it should be fun.
There it goes. Yeah. So here, we're going to start with our guest first. Again, it's been a hot topic. We haven't discussed it quite yet on this show. So, yeah, Jalen Green, let's do it. Past two games have been good, back-to-back 34-point outings. But the story of his season has been, you know, inconsistency, a lot of games shooting under 40%. You maybe don't get benching him mid-third quarter, and he doesn't play a lot of fourth quarters. So overall, you know, it's been a huge topic, as I've mentioned. But what are your thoughts on that huge situation, and you know, what do you think Jalen Green's future could be with the Rockets? Do you think there's a possibility that they trade him this offseason?
You know, I would definitely still peg it as more likely that he will return in a Houston Rockets uniform. I think just because the situation of offloading him will be so complex, right? It's the year before a potential rookie extension, so I don't know how excited other teams would be to engage in those negotiations. Also, more importantly, we see Jalen's talent, right? I mean, it's pretty obvious. It was obvious in Phoenix. We see it in spurts. We saw it through the first 2 years. So I have a hard time seeing Rafael Stone totally punting, right, on Jalen's talent. Now, I think the bigger question is, through these next 22 games, what kind of player do we project Jalen Green to be in year four and year five, right? I think that 25-point-per-game all-star thing is kind of in the rearview mirror. That doesn't mean he has to be a negative player with this team, right? So I think exploring and understanding what he'll be through these next 22 games is pretty pivotal. It's one of the stories of the season left, I think.
Yeah. And I'll go for this point. Yeah, Jalen, it's been frustrating for me. You know, if you look at his game, he's played every single game for the Houston Rockets. And I want to say he leads the NBA right now in games shooting 40% or lower. Even with that being said, I understand why a bunch of fans are frustrated with him. But to me, again, it is a complex situation, as Michael put it. You can't just trade him just to trade him. If they're going to trade him, they're going to try to get a star, in my personal opinion. And I don't know what star is necessarily going to be available. You know, they want Mikal Bridges, but Brooklyn's not getting rid of Mikal Bridges. So I kind of agree with Michael on this one. I don't think they're just going to off-put him for no reason. And I don't know what star is necessarily going to be available for them to get if they were going to, you know, move a Jalen Green.
And one thing I just kind of want to
add. More so, it's ported. No, you got it. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. Yeah. Just one thing I wanted to add here is, you know, you've seen Ime Udoka bench Jalen, show frustration with Jalen. He's never shown that he wants to give up on Jalen or tether him to the bench, right? I think there are still kind of moments of confidence where Ime is trying to instill, we still see a really talented player. On Saturday night in Phoenix, he said he's making the right reads, he's progressing. So the infrastructure, I don't think, is like out on Jalen Green or anything like that. I think that kind of narrative has been a little overblown of late.
Yeah, and I do like that Udoka hasn't given up on him. You know, they ask him, hey, are we going to move him to the bench? You know, he keeps him in that starting lineup to keep that confidence up, you know. And if he's not performing, again, he just won't play him down the stretch. But, you know, I do like, you know, in these past few games, they've been playing at a faster speed. He had 14 fast break points in that last game, which was a season high. That fits his style of play. And we've heard there were, you know, potential frustrations about, you know, how he viewed the Rockets and their play style. So them playing faster, you know, works well for him. So my thing is, I was going to finish with, I'm interested to see how they play to Jalen's strengths, or if he can fit in with the team's strengths. You know, I've seen at times where they cater to him at the beginning of the game. They want to get him going, and it throws off the flow of what the Rockets are ultimately trying to do. So I just want to see how he fits in with the Rockets going forward, and if it's just able to gel perfectly, because Will said it a million times. I think this young core does fit well together. Their talents do. They just have to make it work. But, yeah.
I guess it's my turn. Where I fall on the Jalen Green situation, for me, I've been someone who's pushed back on the idea. Like, I didn't like Jalen Green at the trade deadline. I thought that was – like, one, you're probably – especially with how he's played this season, I don't think that you're going to get – you're going to have to attach something. Not to dump him, but to get a real upgrade. I don't think – whereas, you know, a year ago you probably trade Jalen Green one for one for – a really talented player. I think this year they're going to want a little bit more on top of that. So I don't think his value was necessarily there where you would really see any real return on trading Jalen Green. And you have to ask yourself the question of, is what you're about to trade Jalen Green for, which we all agree is probably not going to be – like, you're not trading Jalen Green for Donovan Mitchell straight up. You're not trading Jalen Green. You know, Mikal Bridges was the hot name. Brooklyn's not trading you Mikal Bridges just for Jalen Green. Like, you're going to – you know, the best player you probably trade Jalen Green for – you know, best case scenario might be like a low tier starter, right? Just one for one. I guess probably the, you know, best case scenario. So is a low tier starter, whatever he's going to give you, is that worth punting on whatever percent chance you think Jalen Green actualizes his potential? And for me, it was like, nah, I'd rather just take the L on it and bank on Jalen Green becoming Jalen Green as opposed to trading him. And then, you know, like, what happens if he figures it out? You know what I'm saying? Because the person, what we're about to trade him for, probably wouldn't even be worth that much, in my opinion, anyways. So that's where I'm at. Now, that was the trade deadline. Where I'm at right now is I am okay with not trading Jalen Green. I do think that if you're someone who wants there to be significant roster turnover, somebody has to go. You know, you have five guys from your young core. Well, six guys, actually, I'm tripping. You have six guys from your young core, if you include Jalen. And then you have Fred and Dylan Brooks, who we're going to get into next. That's eight guys. And also Steven Adams, right? He's here. He just showed up to practice today, I believe. It's his first day with the team. So that's nine guys. That's an NBA rotation. So you can't, you know what I'm saying? If you wanted some a roster turnover, some new guys in the room, somebody has to go, right? So that's first and foremost. But I'm okay if you're okay with saying you feel like we're good where we at. Like, I can say that argument. I'm okay with not trading Jalen Green. I think that there's a real scenario where he, for as disappointing as he's been this season, that he could go into this offseason, you know, another season with Udoka, and come out next year and start seeing some of that potential. I think that's absolutely in the realm of possibility. For me though, you cannot go into next season with Jalen Green as your starting shooting guard if you're trying to win. Unless he goes out and he earns it this year. I'm not saying he didn't necessarily earn it this year, but to be fair, he didn't have competition, right? Like, it was Jalen Green. I mean, you wasn't going to start Cam Whitmore at the two. You wasn't going to start Reggie Bullock. You wouldn't start a man. So it was kind of like he had no real competition to take that spot from. He needs to have competition this summer, which, you know, could be a Amen Thompson. It could be Cam Whitmore. It could be somebody you trade for. But he can't go. We cannot go into next season with him uncontested, because as much as we love the guy, as much as we believe in him, he has been one of, if not the biggest reason this team has not taken the next step. Right? If you look at the advanced numbers, if you look at you know, the on-court play, all that good stuff, a lot of that backs the idea that like Jalen might be kind of holding the team back to a degree right now. If you were to replace Jalen Green with a normal starting level guard, how many more wins do we have this season? You know, that's a real question. So I think that even if you want to keep Jalen, he has to earn that starting spot. He should no longer be shoehorned in for the starting shooting guard spot. And I think that they should eat, like I say, whether they trade for someone to give him competition, or whether that's, you know, whether Cam or Amen step up and that's the competition. But he cannot go uncontested into next season as the starting shooting guard of this team. And we think we're going to win. Like, I don't think you can do both.
I thought one interesting thing you guys did bring up, and it's a pretty intriguing point, is that Jalen, on the surface, or at least in theory, should be a perfect player to kind of complement the rest of the starting five, right? I mean, this Rockets offense is dying for a two guard, a wing player that can create one shot and score, right? You have some minors or middling shooters. The Fred and Alperin pick and rolls getting a little clogged. So you need someone who can create his own gravity. When Jalen's right, as we saw in Phoenix, boom, the offense kind of lights up, right? But these extended struggles, the lack of growth, it's hamstringing the offense. I mean, they're number 25 in offensive rating since January 1st, right? They're number 28 in three-point percentage. So that's the tough thing is, like, in theory, if Jalen was the player, which they wanted him to be, boom, you'd have perfect starting five. But it's a long uphill climb to that, as we see.
Yeah, and that's a great point. Jalen Green, as you mentioned, pick and roll game with LP and Fred is the main focal point. And again, they go to that all time and time again. Jalen Green is right there to hit those threes. He's just been – we haven't even spoken about this. I want to mention this. I don't know what happens to his three-point shot from his past 2 years to now. He was never at an elite level, but he has seen a sharp decline out of nowhere. Again, good last two games, but the sample I got from his past two seasons to now, he dropped around 12% on wide-open three-point attempts for no reason. He went from 39% to – I have to look now, but as a two-game – yeah, it was 26%, 26.6% last I looked. So, again, I don't necessarily think that's he wasn't working on his game. And I'll ask you this, Michael. You think that's mental or rhythm? I don't know. I couldn't find a way to figure out how he is just missing open threes all of a sudden. But, again, when those shots are falling, he's perfect for this Rockets offense.
Yeah, it's definitely a strange thing. He's 27.5% since January 1st from three. You know, that's pretty brutal. I think early in the season, you were seeing him hitch on a lot of shots, take that extra beat, look uncomfortable. He's looking a little more comfortable and a little more aggressive. Perhaps you could say this is just a variance thing over two-thirds of a season. Maybe he's forcing it. I really don't know the culprit, but I do agree. The extended shooting slump, whether it was him, Jabari Smith and Dylan Brooks shooting only 6% from three for like 2 weeks, it really sunk the season, right? So I don't have a perfect explanation, but the three-point shooting from the team and the lack of spacing writ large, it's really sunk this offense, which is pretty brutal.
I don't know if y'all saw my facial reaction, but I looked up the number. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so on catch and shoot threes this season, he's shooting 30.2%. Wow. But the number that made me gasp like that was on threes that are classified as wide open on NBA.com. He's a 6+ feet, the closest defender. So, like, pretty much there's no one near him. He's shooting a 28.9% clip from three, which is just absurd to me, bro. Yeah, that's crazy to me. And, you know, I thought that he would shoot a higher clip on threes that are, like, tight and very tight, but he actually doesn't, so.
Yeah, I will say it was 26.6% the last time.
So it's going up a little bit, you know, it's improving. But yeah, I don't know. Like, for me, it's just like, because that's one thing too. I'm hearing people say, like, he's not being used properly and he's, you know, he's out of position, out of place. And my thing with that is, like, how do you use a player of that profile, right? Who is shooting 30% or less on catch and shoot threes, on threes that are considered wide open. Like, that's a shooting guard. How do you do that? He doesn't have the world's tightest handle. Like, I don't know if there's a stat to track this. Maybe, right, you can tell me if there is. But I'm willing to bet he might be, if he's not the highest, he might be top five in getting stripped, losing the ball on the way to the rim. Like, I've never seen a player who drives more and just get stripped every single, and to be fair, sometimes he is getting fouled. Like, I will give him credit for that. Like, I do think Jalen Green gets a pretty bad whistle, but like, he gets stripped pretty, so he's not someone who you can consistently rely upon to get to the basket. And then even if he does get there, he's not the best at finishing through or around contact. So, you know, and then I see people saying like he should run point guard, but I'm like, nah, that's not who he is, you know what I'm saying? So I guess my question is just like, how is he being used in practice? I feel like the way he's being used right now is kind of what he was supposed to do. He's supposed to be able to knock down threes, attack closeouts, get to the rim. And that's what they're trying to use him as. And he's just not doing it right now, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a misallocation of his skill or anything, how he's being used by Ime Udoka. I think it's just a lot of things where, in terms of driving at the rim, it's a lot of throwing yourself into bodies. Although in Phoenix, we saw him make some nice dump off passes to a man, hitting the guy in the corner. So there is small growth there. But no, I think the way in which they deploy Jalen is try to have him score in bursts, have him get downhill, half court pick and roll situations, have him run. That's kind of how he should play. You make a good point about getting stripped in traffic. And that's a big difference already between him and Cam Whitmore. And someone else pointed this out. Apologies if it was one of y'all on Twitter. But you see Cam go to the rim. There's the strong two hands on the ball, right? He's ripping it through there and going up. But Jalen, it's a little looser, right? So it's small things like that where if his game was more refined as a three-point shooter, going to the rim, if he was seeing the floor a tick better, we'd see a lot better of a player. And I think that may be some of the reason for optimism, right? We see the outline of a quality player. It's just not totally clicking, right? So now you might say it's late in year three. I'm tired of it, right? But right. But given the situation, I think it's just something where they're just going to have to keep plugging away and hoping we find a better version of Jalen as he gets older.
To add to that, I'll let you go, Bryce. To piggyback off one thing Michael said, I think that the one in, it could, like you said, it could either be encouraging or it can be discouraging, no matter how you want to look at it. But he has, to Jalen Green's credit, he has improved at everything else, right? His, you know, and maybe said that's a lot of that is because now is the first time where he's been asked to, but just in a vacuum, his defense is better. It's not great, but it's better, right? His playmaking. I've seen Jalen Green make some really nice skip passes. He's made some really nice passes off the dribble. Out of, like, you know, he goes to attack the rim and he's made a good pass. He talked about the dump off pass. It's like a men. I think him and Shingun, they don't run it as much as I think they should, but I think that he's capable of, you know, hitting that quick little, you know, it's a very telegraph pass. I'll give you that. But he's able to make that telegraph pass to Shingun, rolling to the rim. So I've seen Jalen Green kind of take some steps in the playmaking department. I think the area where he's really, like, improved, and I don't know if there's, you know, what the percent is, but, like, I've seen Jalen Green use his athleticism more to grab rebounds this year. Like, I feel like that's one thing that he has made an emphasis of is, like, you know, I may not be able to do too much, but I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crash for these boards. I'm going to, you know, he's averaging over that the two game sample, I think he's averaging like 7 rebounds per game, something like that. So he's been grabbing rebounds. He has a very, I wouldn't say he's a very complete game, but he has like the shell of a complete game. The problem is the one thing that we thought he was going to be good at, which is scoring, he can't do right for some reason. So, like, whether that's, you know, encouraging or discouraging for you, I think for me it's a little bit more encouraging because it's like the things I was concerned about with Jalen Green with was the other stuff, the ancillary stuff. I kind of figured that he would for sure be a lot to score like 25, 27 points in his sleep. So he's done a little bit of the opposite. So I guess for me it's like if we can ever get him to – but a lot of it, like, to be fair, a lot of it also is – he just can't make threes. Like a lot of, if he made threes, that would open up so much more of his game. So like if he's ever able to like figure that out, which like I said, maybe it's an easy fix, maybe you don't. I think that, like I said, I think there's a really good player there, but to the credit of the conversation, it is year three. And he is holding the team back while he figures this stuff out. So, you know, there's an argument to be made that like, maybe he can't figure it out, but maybe he just won't be here. You know, maybe you need to start making the moves to say, you know, we got Shingun, we got, you know, and then we got Cam, we got these guys that are ready. You know what I'm saying? They're ready to go right now. And we had this one guy's kind of holding us back. So maybe it's, you know, better for the greater good if he goes somewhere else and we go somewhere else, you know? So I don't know. This is something to think about in the Jalen Green conversation.
Yeah. I did forget what I was going to say, but I'll add on to what you were saying, Will. You know, if that three ball does come in, Jalen Green has a very quick first step. I saw it in that Phoenix game. He had some line drives past players who were playing up on him because he was hitting shots second game in a row. So once that three ball comes in and those defenders are airtight on him, that quick first step is gonna be able to open up his game, as you mentioned. But that's the last thing I'll say on the Jalen topic. Always rooting for him. I hope he does well, and I hope he does, you know, stay Houston Rockets. But we'll see what happens. So now we're going to talk about Fred VanVleet, Dylan Brooks. They both had good starts, in my personal opinion, in the start of the season, you know, up until December. You know, you look at the numbers, they did really well. I haven't pulled up. We can start with Dylan Brooks, who in Memphis was, you know, everyone thought it was a bad hire because the efficiency was, it was awful. But he increased everything, you know, in the, up until December, until the new year. He had a 59.4 true shooting percentage, was shooting 41% from three, you know, which was way up from last season in Memphis. And now you look at Dylan Brooks in 2024, his true shoot and his three-point percentage is down to 36.4, which isn't the worst.
Wait, I'm sorry. Over what time span is this?
This is from 2024.
He's a 52 true shooting.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. And his field goal percentage is 39.2. The way Michael was pulling up those stats from 2024, I feel like he might have had those on you. So if you didn't, yes. My fault. But yeah. So Dylan Brooks, he's falling back into the Memphis Dylan Brooks. And the defense, in my personal opinion, which was really good to start the season, has kind of regressed. And this is the guy that we signed for $20 million a year for 4 years. And I liked what we were getting from him. I did. I liked that Ime had changed his shot profile. me and Will talk about it all the time on stream. Dylan Brooks, it was working early in the year. Michael, you could tell me if I'm lying or not. They were posting up Dylan Brooks at the start of the year for mismatch purposes, and it was working. I like that shot for Dylan Brooks. It was a good shot at the time. It was 87th percentile if you want to look on Synergy at a certain time. But now they are posting up Dylan Brooks, and he's fading away from the basket. He's not necessarily creating an advantage. And I don't even think that he's got a mismatch on him when he's posting up at this point in time. And then we're also seeing a bunch of bad shots from three. So it's been ugly. And there's been stints where I like the men in his spot personally. So, yeah, people have been bringing up, should the Rockets trade Dylan Brooks this offseason? And we'll start with Dylan. Michael, what do you think about Dylan right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think that situation, I think, is going to be a little more troublesome for the Rockets than the Fred thing just by the sheer nature of the contract. I think 3 years for a player who we feel like after this year, who is probably already at his physical peak, if not a bit on the decline, is a little worrisome. I think the defense is more solid than all defense level right now, both on the ball and off the ball. And, you know, I'm not trying to pick on Dylan Brooks, but those, as you mentioned, those one-legged, like, elbow fadeaways they're just driving me nuts, to be frank. You know, like, they're total offense killers. I think he's kind of in a searching mode, especially when you're not hitting from three. He's trying to get a little closer to the basket. And so I understand where he's coming from, but his offensive contribution right now, where he can't hit from three, he's absorbing bad shots with that, is really having a big, big issue for the Rockets right now. And, you know, you look already, I think Amen's a better defender, right? And I'm not saying that you should, you know, replace Dylan Brooks in the starting lineup. I think basketball has a lot more kind of chemistry elements and internal elements, yeah, where you can't just change the lineup right away. But looking towards 2025, 2026, if he's still here in 27, how active is he going to be on the next Rockets playoff team? I'm a little skeptical of that, to be completely honest.
That's a great point. Will, what are your thoughts?
I didn't realize the numbers were this bad. I mean, it matches the eye test. He has regressed. Well, I said no, I didn't think it was this bad. But yeah, I knew his numbers had took a decline recently than it was at Tarzan. He was came out guns blazing during the season. I thought that he was without question the third best player on our roster behind Shingun and Fred, you know, for the first half of the season. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, rather recently, my worst fears have kind of been confirmed with Dylan Brooks. Like, that was the – because I was, like, I didn't want nothing to do with Dylan Brooks this summer. I thought that we should have went other directions with that money. And then when I saw the contract, I was even more like, what the heck? So – but the main reason why I was kind of, like, just chilling Dylan Brooks was, like, I've seen what happens when he gets into those modes where – it starts being Dylan versus the other team, and he can shoot you out of a game, right? He can kind of, like, the IQ and the shot selection, like, that can take you out of a game completely. And, you know, to his credit, he did a really good job of keeping that in check for, like, the first half of the season. But, like, I don't know. I think it was, like, around the same time that Fred got hurt, he just, like, completely reverted back to that Memphis Dylan Brooks where he's taking shots that – aren't within the flow of the offense. They're off balance. They're low quality shots. He's forcing it at times. The defense has, like, completely, like, the shot selection is one thing. That is what it is. But, like, the defense, I'm very shocked at how much his defense has regressed. Like, I think Amen Thompson, I think you're right, Mike. I think he's the best defender on this team, and it's not particularly close at this point in time. Which, if you would have asked me that question 2 months ago, I probably would have debated it for a little bit, but, like, now it's like, it's just easily a man for me. So I don't know why or what's caused this, like, all of a sudden regression from Dylan Brooks. In terms of, like, his long-term outlook on the team, I said this a couple of times, I'm not necessarily saying you have to move Dylan Brooks. I don't think you have to. I think you can keep him because you know, if you look at seasons in totality, in the totality of the season, he's still been a positive. He's been worth the money we've given him. I think he's amazing for our locker room, amazing for our culture we're trying to build. So, like, in totality, I don't think that he's been a problem where it's like, okay, you should be looking to move off of him. I think he's been more good than bad in the grand scheme of things. Now, that being said, like I said, if you want some change this summer, somebody has to go. You can't, you know what I'm saying? You can't keep the whole core together and you want change, right? There's not enough, you know, minutes for that. And so I am not saying that I would move Dylan Brooks, but I would, he's not untouchable to me. If the right deal is there and I could trade him and maybe fill that the minutes that he's taking, the role he's taking, with someone who makes more sense for what this team needs, I'd do it. You know, I'm not saying that he's not a guy at all who I'm like, you have to keep at all costs. Like, I think he's someone who I would lean more towards keep, just because I don't think you're going to get a better player than Dylan Brooks, or like a better situation than what you have with Dylan Brooks. But he's not untouchable to me. He's definitely somebody who, for the right person, for the right price, you could have him, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, and one thing with Fred and Dylan, not to totally spin us ahead, although we can, is both of those contracts are kind of, at least you can see how they could be value structured for Rafael Stone, right? I think with Dylan, it's $20 million of his average annual value. That's something that is not so big where no team will absorb it, but it's also big enough where you could then use it as an anchor of a salary, right? If you want to attach a bunch of picks plus Dylan, theoretically. Yeah. With Fred, you know, I'll be completely honest. I at first thought it was 3 years, all 3 years guaranteed. Took a little more, right? Figured out that it is 2 years with the option. And guess what? That makes Fred a massive expiry next year. Not saying that he doesn't have value, because I think we'll see a little bit better version of Fred down the stretch. I think he's still kind of recovering from the abductor thing. But regardless, that being a big expiry next year also makes it movable. So it's not like the Rockets, and this is a thing I've seen fans worry about, it's not like they're so boxed in where they're unable to make moves. They have both movable salaries, young players, and a lot of Brooklyn picks, right? So I personally don't think that any of these guys we discussed will actually be moved this offseason or by February, but they also can very much be moved by next offseason or February, which is important.
Yeah, and I was going to say on the Dylan front, I personally didn't have anything to add. I want to say, well, with Dylan Brooks, yeah, he's been awful, you know, to start this new year, 2024. I want to see how he looks, you know, going into next season, because that'll give me a better idea how he's going to look in the future. And then you can make a move, you know, based off of that. But yeah, and you're good. You were not stepping us ahead. I was about to jump us to Fred VanVleet right now. And I also wanted to start with you on the Fred VanVleet front. Yeah, he's really good start to the year. Had a bunch of 10 assist games, had more 10 assist games by before 2023 ended than he had in his entire career in Toronto, you know, for a single season. Like, that's how good he was. You know, that pick and roll with Al-P was money. You know, that was the best connection in the NBA statistically. So now, yeah, it's falling off a little bit. Turnovers are starting to get up there a little more since his injury. You know, as a whole, since 2024, he's still only averaging 1.7, but the assist numbers are down and the efficiency is slightly down from three. But, Michael, you brought up a good point with Fred VanVleet. Huge expiring deal. You know, do I think the Rockets move him before that? I don't think Ime Udoka would want to do that. But, you know, what do you think about, you know, I guess his future with the team, how he's been playing, you know, to start?
I think that the current offensive sag isn't totally Fred's fault for a few reasons. I think the main one, as we kind of referenced earlier, is that lack of spacing and then a lack of a dominant second creator or even first creator, right? I think Fred at his best is a guy who's a fantastic steward of the offense, hits that pocket pass, makes the swing pass, great assist to turnover ratio. And then there's a guy who has some real burst in his real engine. When Fred is the guy who has to provide all the burst in the engine, not to disrespect him, he's just not going to do it with his size, his lack of speed, his age, et cetera, right? So I think as he's trying to carry so much of the load, it's just being exposed a little bit, right? I think that's kind of what we saw last year in Toronto, and that Toronto team had more talent than this current Houston team. I think offensively, we can debate that, I guess. So I think we'll see a better version of Fred. I think that Fred's performance next year is kind of dependent a lot on how Jalen plus Cam play, right? Like if Cam Whitmore has a big breakout or Jalen kind of course corrects, I think we'll see a little less fervor about Fred going like 12-9 than we do now when we're frustrated seeing that, right? So is Fred a limited player? Like, yes, but, you know, you can't blame him for the whole roster construction, I guess. So, yeah, I guess if he was a little older, a little faster, it'd be better, but I still like him as a steward of the offense, and I don't really see them moving on unless some crazy blockbuster scenario emerges, which I don't think any of us really see, right? So
I'll speak on this and then kick it to Will. Yeah, when it comes to Fred, I agree. You know, he's been taking on a huge load offensively. You know, top 10, I want to say, in minutes per game. And he's got the ball, you know, most of the time when he's in there. So what I would do, you know, with Fred VanVleet going into next season, I don't know if we'll necessarily see a change right now. But I'd like to see him be off ball a lot more. He is a really good catch-and-shoot three-point guy. And the Rockets just happened to drop a point guard who's really good at getting to the paint and kicking out to people and he's a good facilitator. I'd like to see Amin Thompson be on ball more. I think that would help Fred a lot. And that would bode for a lot of the troubles that we've been seeing with Fred. So, yeah, again, Rockets need to push the pace more. It is good that he's a really good stabilizer. Fred obviously is a really good piece to have on a basketball team, but he shouldn't necessarily be the entire engine. And that's kind of what we've been seeing from him. So, yeah, that would be my I would switch to that going into next year, like a heavy, like, yeah, Amin is the guy on the ball. We're going to use Fred as kind of the guy who can be a secondary creator or catch and shoot three-point player, because he's 43.5% last I looked in the past. It could have changed. And I'd like to see him used a lot more like that. Udoka said he wants 40-plus threes a night. Fred's a good guy to get some catch and shoot opportunities, opposed to pull-ups in traffic, which I don't necessarily like from Fred. That's what I would say on that. What do you think, Will?
I looked it up. He is sixth in minutes per game this season, which I thought he'd be a little higher than that. I
wonder what is the number, 37-ish? What is it?
The number is, 36.8. And then I'm looking up catch and shoot. Yeah, catch and shoot, he's shooting 43% from three. And then on threes that are classified as wide open, he's shooting 41.5%. So he's a good shooter.
Yeah.
I guess for me, Fred is probably some, like, people know how I feel about Fred. I don't think that I don't think you move him this summer. I think that what he provides to this team is worth more than whatever you potentially trade him for. Unless it's like, of course, in like salary aggregation and like a large trade. But like, even I think Dylan Brooks is probably more suited for that than Fred. Like, I think Fred's gonna be the starting point guard of this team next season. That's fine. Yeah. I think a lot of the shortcomings with Fred get exaggerated because he's being asked to be the best guard on the roster, and that's not what he was supposed to do, right? He was supposed to be the second best guard behind Jalen Green. The whole point, I think, one of the main reasons why you do sign a Fred VanVleet instead of a James Harden, besides the defensive purposes, is because you wanted to put the onus on your young guys. James Harden could take a team, even at 35 now, 34, 35, even at this age, James Harden can take a group of role players and get them the 10th seed, get them the ninth seed, something like that. So if you want to really like put the onus on your young guys and see what they're made of, like, that was what Fred VanVleet was supposed to do. So like, to his credit, like, Shingun's done his part of the bargain. It's just been more like Jalen hasn't necessarily kept up his side of it. So that's why it looks like Fred has to do more, which he's not good at. And like, to Fred's credit as well, like, I just feel like people say like he ball hogs and he holds people back. Like, I've seen Fred, like, I think in his ideal world, he is off ball way more than he is right now. Like, I've seen him try to get off ball and try to get other players going. You'll notice that, like, the shot selection and the dunking the ball only occurs when it's like, all right, we're down and you have an off game. Somebody has to step up. I guess it's me. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's when I see Fred kind of start dominating the ball. So, I think that his future, for the most part, is safe going into next season. Now, beyond that, I am not accepting that team option at all. Like, I'm okay with restructuring it and re-signing him long-term for cheaper, but I am, like, there is 0% chance that team option gets accepted for me. He's here for 2 years on that contract, and we can move on from there.
Yeah, and Will, you make a great point. There's been games where the entire young core is clicking.
He gets
Fred's running around just moving the rock. He's like, hey, y'all got it. Man, y'all show me what y'all can do. You know, that is his ideal world. And when the Rockets are losing, which has been often lately, you know, he does get into that side of things where he's like, yeah, all right, let me take over. Let me start taking these pull-up threes, you know. So, yeah, I'm curious to see. When guys start to step up, I think Fred will look a lot better. So I hold on to him for the entire season, obviously. That's referring to next year. And then that team option, I want to see. I'm not just going to say decline it right now. Obviously, that'd probably be the best bet. But I want to see what team's at. I could see Ime Udoka wanting to hang on to him. Obviously, he loves the guy, you know, perfect guy, you know, coach extension onto the court. You know, we'll see where the roster's at. They have some moves to make this offseason potentially. You know, they have 37-ish million to work with if they want to go try to get somebody. It's a lot that can change, but yeah, you know, we'll see what happens with Fred. Last thing we'll add, Will and I don't even have to speak on this topic. I'll just ask you, Michael, you think you have any predictions, you know, for the offseason? You know, they have a lot of salary with the Jock Landale. You know, Jeff Green, Jayshon Tate, who is out of the rotation now, obviously, because they want to shoot 43s a night, and that's not his game. And then also a Steven Adams contract, who they could throw in potentially.
Yeah.
But You think they do something with that salary?
Yeah, I mean, I think the three big guys that we hit on, Dylan, Fred, Jalen, I'd be surprised if they got moved. That kind of other aggregatable salary, I guess, is the best way to refer those guys, not to insult them or anything. I could see them turning that around to, you know, some kind of $20 million per year shooter, a movement shooter. That would be fantastic. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this isn't a guy that's available, like a Norman Powell type offensive spark kind of player. I think would be great. Also, they might have two lottery picks. They might have one lottery pick. I think they might think about packaging this one. Last summer didn't make any sense. Obviously, they got steals in the draft, which was fantastic for the Rockets. We will see a move. I don't think it involves the core pieces, I guess is the best way I'd phrase that.
I agree with you 100%. And I personally have nothing else to add. Will, do you have anything? All right. So, Michael, was this your first podcast?
It was first appearing on y'all's show. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Well, hey, you did a great job. And again, tell the listeners, you know, where they can find you again.
Yeah, for sure, guys. You can follow me on Twitter at mshap2, S-H-A-P-2. You can catch all my work on cron.com. Rockets, some Astros season getting started too. But these next 22 games, offseason, I'll be your go-to guy. Get all the content for free. So, yeah, follow me on Twitter. Catch us on cron.com. And I really do appreciate you having me on, fellas. It's been nice.
Yeah, yeah. I'll say this. You guys need to follow him on Twitter. I love, you know, his content. He drops really good articles with a lot of great information. I'll be good to quote tweet any of them so you can check them out if you don't see it. But yeah, definitely give Michael a follow. And I want to appreciate you for coming on the show. We'll definitely be having you back on. Really enjoyed it.
So I'll echo that as well. We appreciate you taking time out today to come on our show. I think we had a good conversation, a lot of good topics were discussed here. So y'all make sure y'all tap in with him and his content. We're definitely going to, you know, plug all his socials in the description and, you know, when this goes live on Twitter. So make sure y'all tap in with that. And with that, I think we're good, right, Brad? That's everything.
We're all good. Appreciate y'all for tuning in, and we'll be back soon.
All right, man. See y'all next time.